begin. I'm reminded that we have to confirm with Fischl, but we're probably coming towards the end of his season of sponsorship, and we thank him for that. What that means is that we'll look to the members of the Shir, so please keep that in mind. Furthermore, please consult the bulletin or the emails. I don't know what our schedule will be. Other than that, I don't assume that there will be Shir next week, since it'll be Purim. So, I know you love me, but I think you probably have other things to do that night. You're welcome, of course, to come to the house on Purim, but to visit, as some of you always do. But I don't think there'll be a Shir. In terms of getting closer to Pesach, so there's usually a time where we take a Nisan break, although I don't know exactly when that will be, but hopefully we'll have as much Shirim as possible. We begin Sefer Vayikra, which certainly presents a form of challenge to a Shir like ours, but we have been able in the years past to look for and find very interesting topics, and hopefully we'll be able to do so this year as well. Although I did take a look at my notes, and I think that we certainly have less Shurim in Vayikra than we did in Brachos and Shmos, but it could be we have less in Vayikra than we have in almost any of the other Svarim, just the way the weeks have worked out. But in the opening of our Sefer, we have the following consecutive psukim. Vayikra, El Moshe, V'yadaber, Hashem, Eilov, Hashem speaks to Moshe, Me'ol Moed, Lemor, telling him, Dabrel B'nai Yisrael, you should speak to the B'nai Yisrael, V'yamart Aleim, and tell them, Odom ki yakruv mikem karbon, Hashem, someone who brings a karbon to Hashem, and a behema, min abakar, min atzon, takrivu, es karbanchem, whichever animal you're bringing it from, im ola karbono, min habakar, zachar, tami makriveno, el pesach al moed, bringing it, this form of animal, you'll bring it to the close of the moed, to the moed, yakrav osol l'ritzono, lifnei Hashem, you will bring it for Hashem, and then in Pasuk Dalet, the Pasuk says, v'samach yado al rosh ha'ola, you will place your hands on the head of the animal, v'nirtzalo l'chaper alav, and somehow that is part of the mitzvah of bringing the karbon, which is in part what affects the kapara. That is what's known as smichas hakarbon. And in a very well-known discussion, the Sifra, or the Taras Kahanim, as it's variously known, in Parshas Beis, right in the beginning of our Sefer Vayikra, quotes the discussion of a very famous machlokes tanaim. And the Medrash here runs together the opening of the Sefer and the fourth Pasuk, as it refers to it as Dabar el Bnei Yisrael v'samchu. Again, there is no Pasuk, Dabar el Bnei Yisrael v'samchu. It is a combination of the beginning of the Parsha, which talks about Dabar el Bnei Yisrael in a form which sometimes is understood generically, but we have other times where sometimes it's referred to, it's understood as masculine, gender specific, Dabar el Bnei Yisrael. And then we have the reference in Pasuk Dalet of Asamchu or Asamach Yado. So says the Medrash, the Sifra, Bnei Yisrael Somchin, only Zacharim, but not women, but not Nikevos. Namely, that men are obligated, Bnei Yisrael Somchin, Ve'en Benos Yisrael Somchos. Men are obligated to do the smicha, women are not obligated to do the smicha. So point number one is, even if a woman will bring a karbon, let's say it's her aveira, she has to bring a karbon, or whatever the reason is, she's bringing the karbon. So a man is obligated in the very exact situation, not only to bring the karbon, but to do a smicha, to rest his hands on the karbon. The woman is not required to do that. Women are exempt from the mitzvah of smicha based on this drasha of Dabrel Bnei Yisrael, the samchu. Fine. So she's not obligated. The shaila is, what if she wants to do it? Is she allowed to do it? The Medrash quotes a machlokas. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Hanashim Somchos Rishus. They hold that a woman is allowed to do it. It's a Rishus, she's not obligated, but she's allowed to do it. And the Medrash then continues. What's the other opinion? I forget who it is, yeah. The other opinion, I guess, in the Medrash, really, it's, I guess, a Tanakama, but actually it's left unnamed, that we hold Nashim Ein Samchos Rishos. No, not only are women not obligated, but they're not allowed to rest their hands on the karbon. This machlokas, which in its earliest source is in this Sifra, in the Torah's Kohanim, is actually quoted in at least two Gemaras, but perhaps more, but two Gemaras that we'll reference. One is a Mishnah in Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah, and the other is a discussion in Masechta Chagiga. The context of the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah is that it mentions that we would allow a katan to blow shofar. That's the Mishnah. Comes along the Gemara and says, from the fact that we would allow a katan who's not obligated, but we would allow him to blow shofar, we can infer that we wouldn't allow a woman. I ask the Gemara, why? How could you say we wouldn't allow a woman? There's another Tanaitic text, there's another Braisa that says we do allow women to blow shofar. So lechora, it's a steer between the mashmalos of the Mishnah and a Braisa. So the Gemara resolves the contradiction by saying it's in fact a machlokas. This is the very same machlokas of Nashim Somchus Rishus or Ein Somchus Rishus. The Mishnah, apparently, the Tana held like the Mand Amar, Ein Somchus Rishus. And the Braisa holds like the opinion of Nashim Somchus Rishus. So that's another example. Broaden now, we see that it's not just, and this is an important leap, it's not just a limited or technical discussion to carbon, but rather it's expanded and understood really as a paradigm, perhaps at least for one other example, and at this point there's probably no obvious reason to limit it to shofar. When you have a mitzvah that a woman is not obligated in, is she allowed to do it or not? Says the Gemara in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, that's the same machlokas in Rosh Hashanah is the first kind. So we've gotten from something that seems almost esoteric or far removed from our experience, putting a hand on a carbon, out of carbon, vayikra, boring, Torah's Kohanim, and now we've jumped very quickly into something that's very relevant and very interesting. Do we allow women to do mitzvahs that they're not obligated in? The specific example that's debated in Rosh Hashanah is shofar, and the Gemara says that Shor Shamachlokes goes back to our medrash here in the opening of Vayikra. Gemara, one more Gemara to mention in Masechta Chagiga also discusses this and has an interesting discussion in conclusion, which is debated by Rishonim, but the Gemara seems to say the following discussion, that it's difficult, how could you allow a woman to do smicha after all? It's not like it's a par of action. Right? There's something called avoda bakotshim, right? If you're not obligated to do something with a carbon, you're not allowed to do it. Who gives you a right to start hiking around with a carbon? So the Gemara said to Akva Yadeh that we just let them not do a full smicha, apparently full, real smicha, i.e. for a man, you have to do with your full kocho, you have to lean on the animal. The woman just rests her hand gently. The Gemara says, why do we allow that if it's not the full thing? Lo seis nachas ruach l'nashim. Because not that everyone would want to, but a woman who would feel lacking, she doesn't feel connected to the carbon, to the experience, so to give the nachas ruach, we will allow that. As a parenthetical point, it's perhaps obvious, if you're thinking in these terms, that this chazal is very relevant and sometimes misunderstood or misapplied to a lot of very contemporary issues when we deal with women and their role in Yiddishkeit, which is a very sensitive topic. One thing for sure you see, Laseis Nachas Ruach L'Nashim is a real bona fide halacha concept. That wasn't made up by the feminists. That's Chazal. The question, of course, which requires much more sophisticated deliberation, is when to apply that and when not to apply it. But needless to say, you can imagine that this is a popular Gemara in many circles, even if it's not fully understood. The Gemara Chagiga is Daf Tezayin of a base. Obviously, this raises a major question for us. How do we paskin? So this seems to be a machlokas rishonim. The Or Zarua and the Ravid, who we'll get back to. The Ravid, the very same Ravid, has a commentary on the Sifra. The Rash, who we're familiar with from Mishnayos, and the Ravid in a standard Torah's Kohanim are on the page. So the Ravid seems to paskin, as does the Or Zarua, like the Machmir opinion, Noshin, Ein Somchus Rishus, that we would now allow a woman to rest her hand on the carbon since she's not obligated. On the other hand, the Rosh quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, thank you, Tosfos, the Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis, all clearly hold, as well as in the Karbanos, all clearly hold that Nashim somchos rishus, we are mekil, and not only by the Karban, but by extension, we do allow, again, the Gemara connects them in Rosh Hashanah, and we do allow a woman to blow shofar, or the Rambam specific one that I quoted, we do allow a woman to wear tzitzis. L'chore, if you paskin Nashim ain't somchos rishus, so you would prohibit some of these things. Elamai, most Rishonim hold Nashim somchos rishus. Again, it's notable the Ravid and the Orzarua are machmir, but most Rishonim seem to disagree and paskin Nashim ain't somchos rishus. Excuse me, no somchos, thank you. Sorry. I'm getting to that now. You're thinking on the right track. You hold that, I'm pretty sure I'll answer your question, or at least show that it's debated. But if I don't address it, you'll come back to me. But I'm pretty sure we will, okay? So I want to now discuss something which really Tali was alluding to, I think, which is trying to get to the heart of the matter. What is the status? What's underlying the machlokes? What's the shorash machlokes? And to the extent that we paskin somchos rishus, how do we understand that? So in order to, we could come at this from any one a number of ways, but let's do so from the following. The Gemara in Kiddushin, a famous Gemara you're all familiar with, talks about food. Talks about a kiddush. It could be bad. Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, I was going to make a kiddush when I thought that God all ain't a mitzvah of Yosef. Because I'm blind, and I thought, oh, what a big tzaddik I am. I'm doing this anyway. And the rabbi, it's always the rabbi who's the party pooper, when the rabbi says, no, Goro, Mitzvah V'yoseh, it's better to be obligated than Eina Mitzvah V'yoseh, so now he's not so excited, he's not going to make a Yontif. But the Yesod that comes out of that Gemara, Goro Mitzvah V'yoseh, that there's something greater, but, on the other hand, there is a reward. Apparently, there is a schar for the Eina Mitzvah, just not as great. Right? That's what Tali referred to. I'm not obligated. I'm Eina Mitzvah. So the Yesod of the Gemara, there is schar, but apparently not complete schar. The question which is raised by a number of achronim explicitly, and perhaps some rishonim implicitly, is how do we understand this idea of gadol hamitzvah v'yoseh? On the one hand, we could say something that's a little bit more simple, I think, in the pashas of the Gemara, but it's more ambitious, a bigger chiddush, and that would be to say, you know what the Gemara is saying? If two people do a mitzvah, one is obligated and one was not obligated, Davins and the other person, the other Amara Davins, one's obligated, one's not obligated. It's the exact same action 100%. It's the exact same chalos mitzvah. Their action has the same significance as mitzvah. One little difference. One is b'toras chiyuv, one is b'toras shoser kiyuv. And the chiddush, which is not our topic for tonight, Tosfos Ritzvah, famous discussion, is that you get more reward if you're obligated then you're not obligated. But everything else is the exact same. The Eina Mitzvah V'yoseh does the mitzvah, it's a full bona fide mitzvah. That's why he's getting any reward. Not as much reward, a technicality.
What about being mostly someone, there's a difference there.
Okay, but that's in the realm of obligation, not in the realm of accomplishment.
Okay.
Because they're not the same level of obligation, therefore they get. However, there's another possibility. Some suggest, perhaps, what the Gemara meant is, if you're not obligated, then when you do the mitzvah, there's something qualitatively lacking. Perhaps it doesn't even have the status of a mitzvah at all. It certainly doesn't have the status of a full-fledged mitzvah. The Gemara clearly says you do get rewarded, but perhaps that's a melitza. Not that you're not rewarded, but for example, the Gemara says in other places, right? Mitztarfin machshava tova lamaisa. Or you're going to get rewarded for your good thought. You had a good thought. It's a nice idea. It should be, you know, not a kapara, but you should get schar for it. So did you really do it? No, you didn't really do it. But you get schar because you had the right intentions. There's some reward. We give you bonus points. You're a good guy. We'll give you bonus points. So could be, say, some achronim, that that's what it means here. I'm going to daven. I am Eina Mitzvah V'yoseh. Say Nechanami, your mitzvah, your action, should I say, is not on the same footing as the other one. And taka, that's why you get less schar. Not like according to the first approach, from mamish until the last minute, everything's identical. It's just a technicality why you don't get the same schar. The other approach is no, fundamentally there's something deficient. Not your fault, it's not a punishment, it's just a fact. But there's a different status of the action. You can't separate obligation and fulfillment. If you're not obligated, then there's something deficient through no fault of anyone in the action, and therefore, tafka, it's not a coincidence, it's not a technicality you get rewarded less. It's because what you've done has a lesser standing. Now just keep that question in mind, and let's see the following. The Ravid has a chiddush. I mentioned here the Ravid has a commentary. The Ravid has the following chiddush. Zok the Ravid as follows. A woman is allowed to do smicha b'chol kochan, with all of her power. She's allowed to fully rest on the animal. Aye. The Gemara b'feirush and chagiga says, no, she could just rest her hands akva yodei. Says the Ravid a chiddush. That's only talking about karbon shel acherim. She's in the Beis HaMikdash. She sees a karbon going by. Oh, what a geshmak. I want to, again, it's hard for us to relate to, male or female. I want to have this Avodas Hashem experience. I want to touch the karbon. Nachas Ruach Lenarshim, says the Gemara, will let her rest her hand only a little bit. But her own karbon? True, she's not obligated to do smicha, but if she wants, she can do smicha, according to the Man Amar Samchus Roshus, which P.S. the Ravid doesn't hold like, halacha, but we hold like. But we can do it b'chol kochan. You can fully rest your hands on the animal. Tosfos and Chulin says, no. That's not the simple understanding of the Gemara. The Gemara says, no. A woman could just rest her hands lightly. She can't actually put her hands fully. And why not? What's the svara of Tosfos? What's the svara of the simple understanding of the Gemara? It's a vote of a karchim. If you're not obligated to be involved in the karbon, you're not allowed. Aye, we're going to say it's okay for nachas ruach. Yeah, because b'pashas, what we're saying is by just slightly resting your hands, you're not really doing anything. That's not the avoda. Only someone who's obligated can do the avoda. The avoda is b'chol kochan. A woman's not obligated. She could just rest her hands. So, what's pshat in the Ravid? How could the Ravid say that even though she's not obligated to do smicha, that's a mishnah, that's the tanaim, that's the medrash, but yet if she wants, despite the fact that you have avodah b'kachim, a significant counter pressure in another direction, she can do a full smicha.
Shechit is also avodah b'kachim.
Stop there, okay? Let me make the point. Say a number of achronim. You see from this Ravid a tremendous yesod, which is in fact meduyak, I think, in lashon haRavid. If I can find the lashon, I'll even read it inside. But it's a very small text, which I had faxed to me, so I can't read it so well. But a number of achronim point out, you see from this Ravid the following yesod, which I will borrow from one of the ones who speaks about it, Rav Gusman in Shurim on Kiddushin, but it's not the only one who discusses it. Rav Achanan discusses it, we'll get back to him. Rav Shterbach and Baram Zmanim. But Rav Gusman's lashon is, you see from this Ravid that there's a thing called Rishus de Mitzvah, which is what we were calling before, that you see from the Ravid, if taka, you do a mitzvah that you're not obligated in, but if you do it, it's a full-fledged, bona fide mitzvah. The Maisa is a Maisa mitzvah in toto, incomplete, totally. It's a Rishus de Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It's just that you're only, it's only Rishus. So once you do it, what is accomplished? A full-fledged mitzvah. Full-fledged mitzvah? That's Smicha B'chol Karsan. That's even enough. What's the implication? To fulfill the kiyum of asei docha los asei. Because avodah b'kachim is a los asei. But says the Ravid, again, it's meduyik. Let me see if I could just find it quickly for you. If not, we'll have to leave it for our future perusals. I think we're going to have to leave it. Okay. Anyway, the Ravid says this very clearly. Again, it's meduyik in the lashon of the Ravid. And in fact, Rav Gusman says, ultimately taking a step back, this is the shorash hamachlokes hatanayim, going back to our medrash. Nashim somchus rishus or ein somchus rishus. Says Rav Gusman, that's taka de machlokes. If you hold somchus rishus, it's because you hold it when they're doing it. They're not obligated, but when they do it, it's a full-fledged maisa mitzvah. So why not let them do it? But the man damer ein somchus rishus, because it, come on. In the end, what is it? We'd just be letting them do it because we want to make them feel good. But there would be no chalos mitzvah. So if it's a power of action, okay, you want to do a handstand, do a handstand. But putting hands on a karbon, it's no mitzvah if you're not accomplishing anything. So the flip side of that is that you're violating the law of avodah b'kachim, and therefore, says Rav Gusman, that was why that other opinion said it. Just to give you as a mashal, fascinating, Rav Elchanan Wasserman, in the end of his shurim on Masechta Kiddushin, in the Kovet Shurim, the last three osios on Kiddushin talks about this, say he, in an offhanded comment, you know, the language, it's interesting. The Kovach Shurim were write-ups of Shurim, different Talmidim wrote them up. One of the Rebbeim and Wayu Rav Drillman, Zatzal, for those who may remember him. I remember in his Levaya, I think they said over that he was the main Talmud wrote up on Sukkah, or one of the Masechtas, but be that way from Baranovich. But anyway, but it's written very exacting. He's very makatzer, he or they, whoever. So you can miss it sometimes. But I reread the Rav Elchanan. It's interesting. He makes an interesting analogy, which he takes so seriously, he even asks a question on himself. What does he compare it to? The Chizkuni, which is what he quotes, but the truth is that there are others who agree with the Chizkuni, which we spoke about Shabbos HaGadol 4 years ago. I mean, I know you all remember.
Of course.
Namely, the topic of what is the status of matzah after the Sedarim, the rest of Yontif. Is it only a chiyuv to have matzah at the Seder? What about the rest of Yontif? The Gemara seems to be a feirish, no mitzvah. But Pashas, that means it's a nothing. So Alan calls out the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon is only the most famous one to have this opinion. But relatively well before the Vilna Gaon was the Chizkuni. And the Chizkuni in his commentary on Chumash, the Vilna, here that Rabbi Chanan quotes as Chizkuni, also seems to say that there's a reshus, a kiyum, a mitzvah kiyumis, to eat matzah kol shiva. So again, it's a tremendous, it's a very illustrative comparison. Sir Elchanan, women doing the mitzvah that they're not obligated in is no different than any of us, man or woman, eating matzah kol shiva, according to the Chizkuni, which is certainly a key of mitzvah. Now, you can imagine what's the question that one might want to ask on that. If you think of it, hold it, because we're going to get to it. Hold it, you'll see if you're right. All right, I'll ask it later, you'll tell me if you got it right or not. Now, let's see a few other nafkaminas to this issue. Which would illustrate this concept, and at least according to some, it's a really bona fide mitzvah. So first of all, the Ravid himself, in the same thought, brings home the point of Avodah B'Kachim, that flip side when there's counter pressure. He makes the point more specifically in a way that is a little bit more, more down to earth, if you will. Namely, says the Ravid, what about if a woman wears a talis, which again, Mikar Din, she's totally allowed to do, she's just not obligated. So we know that Midaraisa, Tzitzis with Tcheles, included Kilayim. Yet, it's mutter because of Asei Dochalos Asei. Says the Ravid, a woman who wears Tzitzis is allowed to wear it with Tcheles, because her Kiyum will accomplish an Asei Dochalos Asei. Again, the whole premise of the Ravid is that when she does it, she's not obligated, but when she does it, it's a full-fledged bona fide mitzvah, such that it can even push off, in certain specific cases,
halosase. So Ellie's question comes back, why can't a woman be, you know, mozi somebody else? I mean, you know...
Because it has nothing to do with man or woman. Even a man who's not obligated, for example, a katan, or a suma, anyone who's not obligated cannot be mekayim the mitzvah.
You're saying it's a mitzvah, though.
Correct, but apparently, you assume, at least according to this understanding, that what allows one person to fulfill, to be motzi another person, is the equality of obligation, not the equality of fulfillment.
So it's got to be equal, you have to be equal.
Yes, just to point out that this is not at all simple, even in the realm of Asei Dochalos Asei, Rabbi Elchanan points out that Rabbi Kiva Eger clearly disagrees. Because you see from this, that the corner of the Ravid, and Rabbi Chanan is willing to accept this, that to accomplish Asei Dochalos Asei, all you need is a Kiyum HaMitzvah. You don't need a Chiyuv. Now again, the Chiddush we're saying is that there is a Kiyum HaMitzvah. You could have said there's not even. But P.S., in the other extreme, he points out, our Rabbi Kiva Eger, who holds no. You only say Asei Dochalos Asei if you have a Chiyuv. And again, you could understand it in very simple terms. You know, imagine it just like, you know, like a cartoon. You know, how big do the muscles have to be to push away the big bag lo sase? So, you see from this Ravid HaChiddush that even if it's only a kiyum mitzvah, mid-sized muscles, you know, my muscles, that could push it away. No muscles, puny, that couldn't do it. But, according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, apparently, you go even further. So that's another example, Alan, where you see, even though it's something, who said it's everything? Who said it's enough? Who says mimotzi? Who says mese lo sase?
I think you made this up, Raya, already last week, last week's share.
Well,
you said that a kohen is allowed to hang around the place of mikdash all day long.
It was a machlokas. It was a machlokas, Rambam and Ravid. Whether they were allowed to wear the big day kahuna when they were not working.
Right, but they had to hang to
be there. Anyone can. I could be in the Beis HaMikdash too. No, I just said it's machlokas. I just said it's a machlokas. And that's the point, which we said then, was those who allow it, it's because they hold that even lo b'sas avod, it's a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. Yeah. But, well, that's a shail in general about the status of the Big Day Kahuna. Okay, let's move on.
So what would it mean, God, on the two of those?
What does it mean or why? I'm not discussing why, that's a different topic. It's a real topic, the Rishon is the what is... I don't know how to quantify it, because as the Rambam tells us famously, we don't exactly know how to quantify a schar for anybody for any mitzvah. But to whatever extent we can conceive of it, if you're obligated and you do a mitzvah, you're going to get more reward than someone who does the same mitzvah who wasn't obligated. Shai, that's all. And that's true for women who are not obligated in shofar or slukkah or something like that. But the point is, according to this approach, when she does the mitzvah, the reason that she is getting some reward, if not as much as a man, is because what she's doing is a full-fledged bona fide mitzvah. Ad kenei kacha could even be docha lo saseh, for example, according to the Raivin. Let's see other things. Let's see other things that will flesh it out better for you. The famous, famous issue of bracha. When a woman does a mitzvah she's not obligated in, assuming that that's the type of mitzvah that has a bracha, should she make a bracha or not? A famous, famous machlokas rishonim, without getting into all of the details of marmakamas, just to give you a quick review. The Tosfos and the Rosh and the Ran all quote Rabbeinu Tam and subscribe themselves to the shita that a woman could make a bracha on a mitzvah seish shazman grama that she performs. The Rosh asks the question, how could you do it? What about Shem Hashem? So the Rosh says, well, first of all, midaraisa, the violation of Shem Hashem, right, the dibra, that of the commandments, it's only fulfilled outside the context of a bracha. But if you're making a bracha to Hashem, so that would, that's only at worst a durabonon. So what about a durabonon? How could you make a bracha? So that's not so clear. Not so clear. But Lamaisa, he endorses Rabbeinu Tam that it's mutter. The Ran says the same thing, and then asks the next question, which the Rosh had left more at Tzarachiyun. How could she say, v'tzivanu, she's not obligated? And here, the Ran gives the famous answer that Vitzivanu is written in the plural. So since there are people, men namely, who are obligated, she's saying that the Jewish people are obligated doesn't mean herself. And this is the basic shita which of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, that they neutralize these answers and therefore these questions, and therefore they say women can make a bracha. It's worth noting that as many times as I've learned that sugya, I've even taught it a few times, until Mamish tonight, I never knew about a Re'im. The Re'im, Rabbi Leo Mizrahi, has not only his famous Chuvis as well as his commentary on Chumash, but the lesser known is he wrote, like Ha'oros, I should say, to the Sefer Mitzvos of the Smag, Sefer Mitzvos Gadol. There's certain editions of the Smag include the Ha'oros or the comments of the Re'im. And there he understands Rabbeinu Tam as not just saying the women are allowed, the women are obligated. Obligated to make a bracha, just like a man would be obligated when he would do a mitzvah. Now that Re'im was quoted by some, such as the Birkei Yosef and the Malbim. The Malbim, you know, is famous for his Chumash commentary, but he also wrote a Halacha Sefer the Arts of Chaim. And in that commentary there in Halacha, so they both reject this Chiddush of the Re'im. They say it's too far. Plus, if you look at all the Rishonim, the language is always Rishos Levarech. The woman's allowed to make a bracha. The Re'im is the only one who seems to go so far as to think that she was obligated. And closing the circle completely, on the other extreme, of course, we have the well-known Shita of the Rambam and other Chachmei Sfarad who say, no, not taka, a woman's not allowed to make a bracha at all. Why not? So you take a look. The Magid Mishnah says it's, I think, because of the Tzivanu. Another Nosei Kelim says it's because of Shem Hashem. The dominant reason seems to be both from... Even from the defenders seem to be moded that they're most vulnerable to, and especially those who are against, mainly hang their head on the Vitzivanu. Shem Hashem seems to be more easy to get around. But the Vitzivanu, plural, singular, seems a little bit too technical for some people's taste. That seems to be the major source of the machlokas. How do we paskin in this machlokas we've shown him? As many of you already called out and anticipated, it seems to be different minhagim. The Ramah and other Chachmei Ashkenaz say women can make the brachos, and the Mechaber and other Chachmei Svarad seem to hold that women should not make the brachos. It is worth noting, I think I've quoted this in the past, that there's a minority view within Svarad Shaposkin. It is the Birkei Yosef, among others, who even as Svardim say that women should make a bracha. One of the more interesting 20th century shootouts, I think I've mentioned in the past, was that the Tzitz Eliezer, Zatzal, just passed away not long ago, so as a prominent Ashkenazi posek, he was feeling mischievous, as best I can suggest, one day, and he wrote a tshuva where he suggested that all the Nashim Sfardios should start following this minority opinion, since after all, anyway, you know, Ashkenazim are usually better and right anyway, so we'll assume now, once Sfardi Rav realized it, so the Tzitz Eliezer says all the women in the Sfardi community should follow this one, this minority Sfardi psak. Who do you think didn't care for such a tshuva? So Rav Avadya Yosef wrote a tshuva. Mamish, to say machine guns was like nothing. I mean, he was using like smart bombs, nuclear weapons, chemical weapons. I mean, just obliterating. And he's beyond contemptuous of the Tzitz Eliezer. And wouldn't you know it, I can't resist, because we're a week from Purim, he gives the ultimate, I've said this before, the number one Talmudic insult, in, as far as I can tell, where he looks at Tzitz Eliezer and says, who do you think you are? Hagam rotza lichvosh es hamalka, imi, babayis, right? Achashverosh, his famous criticism of Haman. How could you try to seduce Esther? A chutzpah, when I'm in the house, you can't wait till me leaving? In other words, what's the Rav Avadya saying? So we know Svarni Poskim, okay, you could arrogate to yourself, you could start poskiming for our women. But we don't have Rabbanim? He wasn't talking about Mordechai Yo. You know about their relationship, but that's a...
We're going to make a bracha on the Megillah next week. If they read for women five in the house.
Avadim is a bracha. Who makes a bracha, the reader or the woman? That's a different shiloh. No, that's my point. That's a different shiloh. Megillah is more complicated, because in general it's a question, who should make the bracha, the listener or the reader? But if one were to hold that it should be the listener, then the Sephardi woman would not. Exactly the point. If they'll shake gulav, they don't make a bracha, about or not. Okay, so now, let's get back to our topic, our ultimate topic. So a number of achronim, again, including Rav Gustman. Before that, Rav Elchanan Wasserman in the Kovet Shurim, and around the relatively same time, Sridiation or Shuva, all three say that beyond the technical issue of Vitzivanu, not Vitzivanu, that the underlying Lomdusha Machlokas here goes back to our issue. Those who allow a bracha to be made, it's because, how could you make a bracha, Shekhashem, so Vitzivanu bim mitzvosa, right? How could you make a bracha unless, excuse me, you were assuming that the action that's been done by the woman in question has the chalos mitzvah. And therefore, they want to say that this machlokas rishonim, which is certainly famous, most of you even knew before I said it, that it is also gets back to our sifra and vayikra. Mashem somchus rishos, ein somchus rishos. It all goes back to that, these achronim say. Now, it's worth noting that you could be medayik, excuse me, you could be docha this, and say no, that fundamentally everybody agrees it's really a mitzvah, and it's just a technical machlokas over vitzivanu. Rav Shturmbuch tries to be docha. Rav Shturmbuch tries to say that this is not such an exciting machlokas, it's very technical, it's just a question of perish hamilim, do you think that vitzivanu could apply to someone who themselves wasn't obligated? On the other hand, just to show you how far Rav Elchanan believed in this explanation, Rav Elchanan asks a question on himself. Remember what you think it was the question? Rav Elchanan asked a kasha on himself. Rav Elchanan had said this is a comparison to matzah kol shiva, and therefore, if you hold Rishus the mitzvah, Lashem Tom kol Rishus, which is Rav Rishonim, that's why they make a bracha, because the action has a chalos mitzvah. So Rav Elchanan says, Takas a shayla, what?
Well, I have a question. According to one says it's a mitzvah today, why don't you make a bracha?
Exactly! Mm-hmm. Exactly! You were like a little bit hesitant. You're Mechavet Rav Elchanan! Did you learn a Baranovich? Perfect, exactly, Rabbi Spence, exactly. That's what Rabbi Chana asks on himself, because he's so convinced by his equation and his lumdus and his explanation that he even asks on himself. He says, we never see such a thing. He's not advocating it. But he says, how could it be? It should be, according to his logic. You take it to extension. See, if you put it all together, 1 plus 1 equals 2. You should be making a bracha, according to the Chizkuni and the Gra. Kol Shiva. Now, maybe you'll say the reason we don't make a bracha is because the Suffolk who said we don't like this Gra. But the point is, even the Gra himself didn't say to make a bracha. Even the Chizkuni himself never said to make a bracha. So why not?
They're not saying it because you say it's a mitzvah.
You're getting to my razzle dazzle lumdus from my Shabbos Gadol Joshua.
Right.
But that's already razzle dazzle. That's not the pashtus.
Two mitzvahs. You only make one knife.
I understand that. And the Gra and the Chizkuni and others say there's a mitzvah kiyumis to eat matzah called Shiva.
Can you say it's a different level?
Who said that?
Shiva is showing that matzahs. It's a different level of matzahs.
No. According to everybody else, yes, but not according to them. It's not a new mitzvah. It's a
different mitzvah.
No.
Similar to him, I was trying to say that even if there's a mitzvah, a matzah called Shiva, it's not the same type of mitzvah as you would see as the first night.
You have to do better than that. You got to define it.
Qualitatively,
you have to say more. I gave a suggestion. I gave a suggestion on the Shabbos of Gadol Rosh. I don't want to be talking too much Pesach now. We're not talking about that mitzvah. We're talking about mitzvah achilas matzah. That bracha. Al achilas matzah. I'm not saying there's no answer to the question. Although it's interesting that Rabbi Chanan didn't have an answer. He leaves it with Tzarchian. But again, I don't want to get bogged down in the matzah. I'm just bringing to you or stuffed by the matzah. I'm just bringing it to your attention to show you that Rav Elchanan really was so convinced of this taliya, of this analysis, that he's even asked a question on himself, that he really felt that this is really the shorash hamachlokes when it comes to bracha. Furthermore, I saw there's a Talmid Chacham who used to have a yeshiva, which I think some Americans went to. I don't know if anybody here or anybody from our shul went to. The Talmud Chacham was named Rav Avram Gurvitz. He had a yeshiva. I don't remember what the yeshiva named Or Avram. His svarim were named Or Avram. Some of you may have seen, he's a very prolific author. He was American originally. He's a big Talmud of Rav Shachs. Anyway, he has a number of svarim called Or Avram.
You familiar?
Okay, which one do you get? Okay, so if you look at, I think, the second piece on Vayikra is what I'm referring to. So he points out that this tliya, which Rav Elchanan and others make, he says it's really meduyak in the Ravid. Again, who's been the father of this whole approach? It's been the Ravid. So if you look in the Ravid, in the same piece that the Ravid was talking about somchus rishus, and that he also connects it to brachos. And lechora, he's bothered. What my nishmiyat l'arasina? What is whether you hold woman make a bracha or not? And then you do is whether you hold somchus rishus or not. And the answer is, according to this approach, you see everything. It's all one fundamental question. What is the status of the action? If you hold that it's really something, you'll even allow somchus or shus, despite the fact that there's an avodah b'kachim issue, and you'll even allow a bracha, even though there's a shem shamayim or a vitzivanu issue. Just want to mention a few quick issues just to round out the topic. Three small things, and we'll be done in a few minutes. First of all, Rishonim in Masechta Kiddushin, in the Mitzvah Shel Hagrama topic, ask the shaila, why could we assume whether it's the blind person or the woman, Einam Tzuv Yoseh, so maybe it's not as much reward, but it's something good. Why? It sounds very positive. I, Yerushalmi, in a number of places says, Kala Pater V'Dabar V'Nase Nikra Hejot. Right? We're very critical of someone who does things that's not obligated in. Basically we're saying, you're not obligated in something, you do it, you're a fool. Kala Pater V'Dabar, where is the famous time that the Ramah quotes this? Sukkah with the rain, right? But it's a well-known Yerushalmi in a number of places, not just in Sukkah, in Shabbos, and other places. It's a Frekta Ritzva. Why don't we, instead of saying a woman's going to get some reward, but not as much as the man, why don't we say, fool, don't do the mitzvah. Nekra Hekyot, Yipater. It's a Ritzva Skasha. So the Ritzva answers that we can make a chiluk. When do you say, call a Pater B'davar V'Nasa Nekra Hekyot? Only when nobody is obligated at that moment in time. For example, the rain on the Sukkah. There's a fundamental patur. There is no mitzvah then. But if somebody is obligated, it's just not me. So I see already that Ratzon Hashem is for this action. It's just that I didn't have to do it. But if I do it, you can't call me a fool for doing something which I know there's a Ratzon Hashem for. After all, the men are obligated. That's the Ritzvah Loshen. So Rav Gusman again talks about this. And he suggests again that this may be connected to our issue. Namely, if you see it as a real chalos mitzvah, so then, of course, you're not going to call it hedjot. But if you see that it's just stammer by nothing, so there's a chinish maybe by the karbon, maybe some chasrushos, nachas ruach lenashim, but anything more than that, and perhaps according to that mandam, or ain't some chasrushos, even that, you're not going to allow that. That's foolish. At best, you're doing nothing. And worst, you might be creating an issur in certain specific cases. Two more things to conclude. There's a well-known Magen Avram, which says that women are obligated in Sfiras Omer. How could they be obligated? Not because he holds that they're really obligated, but he says Kfar Nogu to count. Therefore, they've obligated themselves. Min Cheschenach says, what are you talking about? You can't do such a thing. But that's what the Magen Avram says. Furthermore, There's a Rabbi Kiva Eger, Nachshmatos of Siman Aleph, a famous Rabbi Kiva Eger, who says that women are obligated already in his generation, he says, they're obligated to come to Shul to hear shofar blowing Rosh Hashanah. What do you mean? It's Mitzvah Man Grama. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, already in my generation, Kfar Nogu Kach. Women do it. And you can Shavya Aleihem Chova. They've made it a Chova for themselves. Well, that's not clear that they're obligated Parshas Zachar. Or is that they've made it a Chiva. Some hold their mamash Chayiv. I'm not talking about Chayiv. That's a machlokas with the Chayiv and Parshas Zachar. I think it would vary from time and place. And Echanami could vary in time. Other Achronim say about this Sfiris Omer, what are you talking about? I would say that. I don't think it's true anymore that most women count Sfir every day. I don't think so. But apparently in some, there were times and places where people felt, no, every woman counts Sfir. Anyway, be that as it may, I just want to point out that, first of all, you may not accept such a concept, right? There are some Achronim who say there is no such thing. Number two is, even if you accept it, but pashtus is that it doesn't mean really chayiv, it means chayiv mitam neder. But, I was just thinking tonight, that maybe this is also a connected point. That, if you really feel that the action that's being done is a maisa mitzvah, so then obviously that gives much more meaning to the action, and maybe, makom lomer, at least according to some, that you can really build on that. If you hold, it's just a nice thing, like a machshava tova. So it's hard to imagine that you could really become obligated in something that's that indulgent and that relatively weak. That's one point. My last point to mention is just to share with you a very profound and potentially consequential comment of Rav Gusman himself. Rav Gusman says towards the end of this 20-page piece, he says, V'yeshli chiddush, I want to mention a chiddush, that in light of this, again, he's not just saying this in Lomdus, he's saying that from Psak Lamaisa, Rav Gusman, because I've proved to you with all these Marim Kamos and all these cases that this is a reshus, the mitzvah, this is a mitzvah status for women when they do mitzvahs that are obligated in. Therefore, he says, they shouldn't just wantonly disregard them. I'm not going to shake Lulav. Baruch Hashem, I'm not a man. Woohoo! Shlos Hanish, I don't have to shake Lulav. I'm lazy. I don't want to go. Who wants to go? I'll sleep in. Who needs to hear shofar anyway? Told me Bezakov, I'm not obligated. Says Rav Gusman's terrible. Because this is a real, they have an opportunity to do a real mitzvah. That's not a nice thing. It's not just this nachas ruach thing. So for them, if it's not nachas ruach, who cares? No, he says, a chalos the mitzvah. So if they have a real bona fide good reason that they can't come to shul, they can't shake the lulav, okay, they're potter. But since I hold this, more than that, says Rav Gusman, it's a real chalos the mitzvah, they should be educated and they should be encouraged to really do them, not just to relax and rely on the patur. They have an opportunity to do a real mitzvah, not just a nice thing. And therefore, they should be strongly encouraged to do so. A good Tanakh, a good Shabbos, and a wonderful Purim.